Now, my message this morning, I believe you're going to get a blessing out of this. I did, and I believe you will. I think it's going to be most helpful. I really do. The title of the message is Jew and Gentile, both one. Jew and Gentile, both one. Now, my text, don't turn to this. This will be my text, Ephesians 2, 11 through 22. But I want you to turn to Romans 11. Would you turn to Romans chapter 11? Now, let's be honest. That's the only way to preach and be blessed of the Spirit of God is to be honest with what you know and what you don't know. Now, there are a lot of unanswered questions about national Israel. There are a lot of unanswered questions about the natural national seed of Abraham. A lot of unanswered questions. And Romans 11, if a man will read it honestly, Romans chapter 11 presents a number of problems. A number of problems, especially for people who contend that God is through with what we call Israel or the Jew. Now, if a person says God has written these people off, they're judicially blinded, which they are, and God is through with them, and they have no hope of salvation, you got problems in Romans 11. I mean, a whole lot of problems. Let's read, starting with verse 11, Romans 11. I say then, Paul writing here, have they stumbled that they should fall? Talking about Israel? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvations come to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them, the Jew, be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentile, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify that office, if by any means I might provoke to emulation them which are my flesh. Paul was a Jew and might save some of them. I'm trying to get their attention, he said. For if the casting away of the Jew be the reconciling of the world, what shall, future, the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. If the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and you Gentiles, a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them you partake of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if you boast, you bear not the root, but the root thee. Abraham was a Gentile. David, Moses, Jacob, Joseph, Isaac. These men were men God raised up. They were Jews. And the gospel was given to these men. And that's some of the root. Verse 19, thou wilt say then, well, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And you stand by faith. Don't be high-minded, you Gentiles, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, you take heed lest he also spare not thee. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. The two things here, his goodness, his severity. On them that fail, these Jews, severity. But towards you Gentiles, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also be cut off. And they, the Jews also, if they abide not still in unbelief, they'll be grafted in. If they believe. For God's able to graft them in again, isn't he? For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and grafted in, contrary to nature, into a good olive tree. How much more shall these which be the natural branches? You're a spiritual son of Abraham, but they're natural sons of Abraham. Be grafted into their own olive tree. Now, brethren, verse 25, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentile become in. All right, we'll stop reading there. Now then, a lot of unanswered questions, aren't there? And for people who say there's nothing left for the Jew, there's nothing left for the natural sons of Abraham, I don't know, that presents a lot of problems. But now, on the other hand, there's another school of thought which places too much emphasis on national Israel. Too much, entirely. Don't put too little, but don't put too much. There's been so much preaching and teaching, and this has just been over the past 200 or 300 years. Back yonder, I'd say over the last 100 years, really, back yonder in the days of Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, Huss, Knox, Whitfield, these men, they didn't preach this premillennial, pre-tribulation, rapture, this far. This is an invention of the last so many years. But over the past 100 years or so, there's been so much preaching and teaching about Israel's part in the second coming of Christ that people are led to believe that the nation of Israel is still God's chosen people. And that other nations will be judged by their attitude toward and treatment of the Jew. That's ridiculous. Men are going to be judged by Christ Jesus, not by our attitude toward or treatment of the Jewish nation. They're not any longer, in the respect that they were in the days of Abraham, God's chosen people. They're not. There's talk today of rebuilding the temple. Great emphasis on the fact that they got to tear down the Dome of the Rock and rebuild the temple on its original site. There's even talk about Israel returning to the priesthood and the sacrifices. This talk about Christ returning, listen, and setting up a kingdom in Israel, in Jerusalem. You've heard that, haven't you? That during the 1,000 years reign, Christ is going to sit on a natural throne in Jerusalem and reign. And we're going to go over there, return like they did in the days of the Mosaic economy and worship. The rest of the world is going back to Jerusalem to worship. So, and that preaching has gone on so long that every time something happens over in the Middle East involving Israel, every time Israel gets in the news, preachers get all excited and start saying, this is it. This is it. This is Armageddon. This is the second coming. This is the beginning of the tribulation. This is it. Let me tell you something. Israel hadn't got anything to do with it. Christ is coming. And if you turn to Ephesians 2, I'll show you that. Now turn to Ephesians 2. And you see, I'm trying to be honest. I started out and showed you I don't have the answers about Romans 11. But I do have some answers about this Jew and Gentile thing in regard to salvation. I do have the answers. It's right here in Ephesians 2. Now, Ephesians 2. In the first 10 verses that we read, Paul magnifies the riches of God's grace in Christ. Look at verse 1. He said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's Jew and Gentile. That's sons of Adam. That's our relationship with Adam, our kinship with Adam who fell. When Adam was created, all men were created in him. When he stood, we stood. When he fell, we fell. When he died spiritually, we died. That has no bearing on a man's nationality or man or woman or so forth. You have to be quickened who were dead. Dead in trespass. All right, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. That's Jew and Gentile. By grace we're saved, by the grace of God. And verse 8. For by grace have you been saved through faith. Is there any other way to be saved? How was Abraham saved? Abraham believed God. Abraham, Noah, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Moses, Christ said, wrote of me. Abraham saw my day and was glad. How are men saved? By grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. That faith is the gift of God. That's the gift of God, whether Jew or Gentile. Not of works, in any shape, form, or fashion, lest any man should boast. We're God's workmanship. Whomever God saves, in whatever generation, under whatever dispensation, he saves them by his grace through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, here we go, verse 11. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles, aren't they still Gentiles? Not in this sense that they were then. They're now Israel. You were in times past Gentiles. Now Paul's writing to the Ephesians, church at Ephesus, Gentiles. And he said, you were Gentiles. You remember that you were not only dead in sins, you not only were dead in trespasses and sin, but you didn't have any natural light. You were Gentiles in the flesh. Listen, you were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made with hands. In other words, we were Gentile dogs is what we were. Pagans, heathen. That's what we were. That's what I was, and that's what you were. That's what all these people to whom he was writing. We not only were dead in trespasses and sin. We not only were dead spiritually, we didn't have any natural light. Now read the next verse. That at that time, you were without Christ. You say, well, all men are without Christ. Wait a minute. We were without the promise of the Messiah. The promise of the Messiah, the Christ, was made to Israel. He said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. We were without the promise of the Messiah. The prophecies concerning the Savior in type, in sacrifice, in priesthood were made to Israel. The Gentile nations, name them. The Egyptians and Philistines and the Amalekites and whoever. They had no promise of, they had no prophets. Paul said to the Jew, God in time past spoke to our fathers by the prophets.
He didn't even speak to the Gentiles.
You were without Christ. You Gentiles, you were pagans, heathen, you didn't even have the promise of a Messiah. Read on. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. So great was the difference between Jew and Gentile that the Gentiles couldn't even live among the Jews. They couldn't marry the Jews. They couldn't eat with the Jews. Don't you know that you Jews had nothing to do with us Samaritans? It came on down even to that division. They had nothing to do with anybody. You were not only without the promise of the Messiah, but you were aliens. You weren't even citizens. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Listen, you were strangers from the covenant. God gave to Abraham a covenant. I'm not talking about that everlasting covenant. I'm talking about that covenant that had to do with the Canaan and the blessings, promises of God, David's kingdom, Solomon's kingdom, all of these covenant promises. We weren't part of those. strangers from the covenant of promise. Listen, having no hope, we had no tabernacle. There was only one tabernacle. It was in Israel. We had no mercy seat, no atonement, no priesthood. We had no hope, no promise of hope. And watch it. And we were without God. You say, well, all men are without God who are not saved. Israel was without God in one sense of the word. Yeah, but God dwelt with them. God's glory hung over that mercy seat. But the Gentiles didn't even have that, did they, Cecil? Now, that's what he's saying there. Without any knowledge of God, without any prescribed worship, we were worshiping snakes. We were worshiping eagles. We were worshiping creatures. Israel was worshiping God, not in their hearts, but at least in form. So you see the condition, pagans, Gentiles, this is what we were. Israel, that's true. God gave them the prophets. God gave them the promise of the Messiah. God gave them the tabernacle, the prescribed worship. He gave them the priesthood. He gave them the mercy seat. He gave them the atonement. We didn't have any of those. The saying was in that day, he who dwells outside of Israel has no God. That's a black picture, isn't it? But that's, you remember that, Paul said, verse 11. Remember. I tell you, if that wouldn't make you jump up and click your heels to know what you were and now what you are, we were dogs. We had nothing. Now, but now, oh, it's different now. But now where? In Christ Jesus. Can I make that plain as I wish I could make it? Not in the Baptist ranks. Not in Calvinism. Not in whatever we believe, whether it's right or what it is. It's in Christ. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes, at one time, so far off, I mean far off not only from spiritual knowledge, we didn't know the answers, but we didn't know the questions. You're made now. You're brought into union with God. Into fellowship with God. You're made now by the blood of Jesus. That's the gospel. But now, know what we were, but now in Christ, we were chosen in Christ, we were loved in Christ. But here's the glorious thing. We were already in Christ even when we were outside the covenant. Even when we were pagan Gentile dogs. Some of us were in Christ, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, loved in Christ, redeemed in Christ, called to Christ by the Spirit, brought to faith, and he said, wherefore, brethren, come boldly to the throne of grace. He hath opened for us by his blood a new and living way into the presence of God. You see that? What we were, but now. What makes this gospel so wonderful? You who were what you were are made nigh. Seated in Christ at God's right hand. For, watch this verse 40. For, he's our peace. He's our armistice. He's our communion. Christ is the settlement of all the issues. He's our peace with God. We're separated from God, and Christ brought us nigh. We were enemies of God, and Christ reconciled us. Our sins have separated us from God, and God, Christ brought us to God. He's our peace. Now watch this. Here's the key. Who hath made both one? Both. Who's the both? Jew and Gentile. That's it, Bob. You who were far off, yet through Christ you're brought into the very presence of God. And he's my peace. And he has made both Jew and Gentile. See, there's no difference. He's made them both one. They're one now. Don't try to separate them. They're one. And watch, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That middle wall may refer to the wall in the temple that separated Jew and Gentile, the court of the Gentiles, but I'm telling you this, it's definitely that Levitical law and ceremonial difference. Circumcision, Sabbath days, feast days, all these things. He's broken down, just like he tore that veil in two when he died on that cross. There is no court of the Gentiles. For he hath made both one. I want you to look at some scripture. Hold that right there just a moment. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Now listen to this. God hath made both one. In Christ there is no Jew or Gentile. Not anymore. Galatians 3 verse 7. Listen. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentile, the heathen, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now look at verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. How'd that come about? He made us one. He made both one. So just don't discuss that issue anymore. As far as the kingdom of God, as far as the mercies of God, as far as the blessings of God, there is no Jew or Gentile. Nonsense. And to think that there's something going on over there in which I'm not involved means I'm outside of Christ. If Christ's over there, I'm over there. Isn't that right? Turn to Romans 2. Turn over here to Romans 2 a moment. You know these things. It's evident. Romans 2 verse 28. Who is a Jew? Who is a Jew? Verse 28 says he's not a Jew which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. He's a Jew which is one inwardly. Circumcision is of the heart. Is God going to revert that and change that? Now, come on. Is God going to change that? No, he's not going to change it. In the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. All right, back to our text. Verse 15. It's talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. I've got to read verse 14 again, or verse 13. Oh, now, listen, verse 13. But now, we know what we were. But now in Christ Jesus, you that were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And he is our peace, who has made both one, Jew and Gentile, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He's not going to raise it back up. He abolished, having abolished in his flesh, that which made us enemies, even the law of commandments, the Sabbath day, the tithe, the priesthood, the tabernacle, the sacrifices, the feast days, the holy days contained in the ordinances. For to make in Christ of two, Jew and Gentile, one new man. There's one body, one Lord, one faith, one church, one body, one baptism, one faith, not two or three different gospels and faith. And so making peace. You see that? Christ, I have a tabernacle, it's Christ. They have a tabernacle. They better not build another one, it's Christ. I have a priest, and they have one too. Not another, it's Christ Jesus. I have a Sabbath day, it's Christ Jesus. I have an atonement, I have a mercy seat. They do too. I don't care who the man is, red, yellow, black or white, old or young, Jew or Gentile, male or female, there's no way to God except by Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no days or feast or ordinances or special doings that can recommend anybody to God except Christ Jesus the Lord. That's what he says here. That's what he says. He made one man. Verse 16. And that he might redeem or reconcile both. Who are we talking about here? Jew and Gentile. Both unto God in one body by the cross. That may mean either his body in which he suffered or his body, the church. There's just one church. One true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're local churches that God uses and blesses. I'm pastor of a local church. I believe in a local church. They send missionaries and all these. But that true church, which he purchased with his own blood, is made up of everybody in heaven and on earth, and Jew and Gentile, male and female, bond or free, whomever believes on Christ. Abraham's a member of the Lord's body, his church, and so am I. You said church is an assembly. That's right. Well, when does this universal, I don't call it invisible because I ain't invisible. When does this universal church ever assemble? They've always been assembled in the presence of Christ. He called it his church. They've always been assembled. They're assembled now. He's not very far from any of us. You see, we're geographically oriented, you know. Here's Ashland, and now Brother Don's going to be in Australia. How far you reckon Australia is from Ashland? Well, it's a long ways, I know. How far you reckon it is to God? Not that far. I mean, they're assembled with us this morning in his presence. How far you reckon Fanny is from us right now? Oh, I can't even imagine, preacher. How far is to God is she? He's with her and he's with us. We're in his presence. I mean, let's don't try to bring God down here to our thinking. There's only one true church. And he, in his body, verse 16, having slain the enmity. Now listen, and he came and preached peace to you, which were far off, and to them that were nigh. Christ came himself and preached peace. My peace I give unto you. To Jew and Gentile. To them that were near and to them that were far off. You remember Luke 4 when he went down to Nazareth and he preached and he said there were many widows in Israel and God saved a Gentile. Fed a Gentile. Many lepers in Israel and God healed a Gentile. He preached to both of them right there. That's right. And through his disciples he preached. Verse 18. Now here's, note carefully, here's a summary of all I'm trying to say. Now, verse 18, for through him, through Christ, through his blood, our Redeemer, he has made unto us all we need. Through him, we both. Who's we both? Jew and Gentile. We both have access. We have this glorious grace access into God's presence through the Spirit, into the to the Father, unto the Father. We both, through Christ. Don't hang any other label on me now. Don't tell me I got to do anything else. Don't tell me anything else is necessary. Don't tell me I have to be circumcised or baptized or canonized or any other eyes. Through Christ. And I'll tell you, if one of those Jews over there comes to God, he'll come through Christ. And he's not going to come bringing a lamb. And he's not going to come bringing a day. And he's not going to come bringing a law. And he's not going to come bringing a birth certificate that he was born of the tribe of Benjamin, because they don't know what tribe they came from. There's even somebody said a lost tribe or 13th tribe and all this foolishness. He'll come looking to Christ. That's right, Tom. That's where he'll come. Through him, we both have access by the Spirit of God into the Father. If God is pleased to save a Gentile, a Jew, a male, a female, a young man, an old man, a boy, or a girl, today or tomorrow, it'll be through Christ. It always has been, and it is now. Isn't that what that says? So don't hang significance on a group over there, like folks do sometimes. It's Christ. He hath t- taken away the first, that he may establish the second. Read on. Now, therefore, verse 19. You know more strangers? I'm not a stranger to the covenant. No, sir. I'm not a foreigner. No Jew, no Gentile either. There's some Jews that are strangers now and foreigners. We're fellow citizens. We're sons of God. With the saints and the household of God. That's who we are. You know more strangers. And you're built. He has a temple, but it's a living temple. And you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, not Moses and not Abraham, being the chief cornerstone. We have a temple. We are that living temple, and Christ is the foundation and the cornerstone. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple of the Lord. In whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Does that help? I'll tell you this. Nothing's going to change this. You see, all the types and patterns and pictures and people God used, that day is over. All of these people were simply instruments in the hands of God to reveal Christ Jesus. Christ was the key then. That's the reason the Jew had the ceremonies and the ordinances and the tabernacle and the mercy seat and missed salvation. When they went into the promised land, only two of them entered in that left Egypt over 20 years of age. Why couldn't they enter in? Unbelief. Unbelief in whom? In Christ. Their table became a snare. They tried to find favor with God in what they were doing instead of what they were doing to represent who did it. See what? That's where they missed it. Don't you miss it. Don't go back to the beggarly elements. Having found Christ who fulfills all of it, don't go back and play the game. Preachers would have us do that. They would have me this morning put on some special kind of dress like the priest of the Old Testament. They would have us set up some kind of inner sanctuary, and they would have us set up these holy vessels and pour wine. They won't let me sprinkle blood. The Humane Society would interfere with that, you know. But we do everything we can do. We will pour wine and have these special candles burning. And don't go back to the weak and beggarly elements. Add nothing to him. He's my light. I don't need a candle. He's my righteousness. I don't need a robe. He's my tabernacle. I don't need an inner sanctum. He's my mercy seat. I don't need an altar. He's my Sabbath. I don't need a special day. He's my rest. I don't need a council chamber. That's right. And anyone's a fool to go back to that stuff. And a greater fool is a man that tries to take people back. Because he's going to be held accountable. Nothing's going to change this order. Anything which we preach or believe in regard to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ has got to fit this message right here. Christ. So you say, Brother Man, what do you believe about the second coming of Christ? Well, I look for his return. And the Jews aren't going to determine the time nor the events. That's been determined by my Heavenly Father. And I'm telling you this, I'm not nearly so much interested in what's going to occur when he returns as in his return. I'm interested in seeing him. And whatever he does will be fine with me. But I do tell you this, I know this, it'll all be completely in accord with and agreement with his gospel.